Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is the returning of the Turning Point.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Mm, hallelujah.
We've been on a little remission.
Yes.
Got credit card debt?
It's just God has been doing some things in our life and
changing some things
and people, places. And the loss of our grandson and, you know, other members of the family. Recently, Charles lost his brother. And Laura lost her best friend, her college road dog, her, you know, part of who she is. And then she turned around and lost her boyfriend. So it's been a lot of tragedy, but still we have good points.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
We're standing on God's every last promise that he ever made. But my husband wanted to play a song that's not, we don't own the rights to this song, but he just wanted to give you a little bit of it.
To the leaves and said 2021 is the year of restoration.
And now we're in 22. He's restoring.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband will give you the scriptures and then we're going to break it down for you. Because when God puts you or take you through somewhere, trust and believe he have a blessing on the other side. When he took our grandson, when he called him home, let me change that. When he called my grandson home, he knew he had to restore the lease.
And he knew that was a kind of perplexed thing for us.
Oh, was it?
That was a loss. But to heaven it was a gain.
A gain.
Our loss is heaven's gain. Amen?
And that's how we had to let God restore us again. Bring us back to where he had us. But made us even better as a couple. Because trust and believe, when we got that phone call on October the 9th of last year, I questioned God like never before. Because I knew on Sunday, that morning, Friday night, I went out and went shopping, got all my grandson's favorite stuff, because I knew Sunday he was going to be here with me in Georgia. And got that call Saturday night. Oh,
God had a different plan.
And I did not see this one coming. But those who know us, my grandson was.
He was our son.
And that was our son's son. Okay, Charles birthed him, took from his mom. Pulled him out, turned him, and everything.
Yeah, Albert Einstein Hospital.
And he did it with the strength of God that was living in him, that still dwells in him. But, you know, to lose a grandson, that was my son's son. Everybody that knows me know I will quit work to raise my grandchildren.
Amen, amen.
And I never liked daycare is because of the things I've seen through daycare, people I knew through daycare. So no daycare will have my grandchildren. It was me. And I kept them until my daughters get of age to where they can work 24 hours. Sometimes my daughter will work 16 hours a day. So I would take the kids and you get them on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I was good with that. But my grandson was, he was a comedian. He
mm-hmm.
knew God. He had a gift to discern spirit. But he would make you laugh, but he was trusting.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
he gave 38 men jobs doing construction. He wanted to be a cop so bad. He signed up for the police explorers when he was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it, he graduated as a captain. When he turned 23, that's the age he could be a cop. So a couple weeks after his murder, we got the letter that he made it to the Philadelphia Police Academy. But now he's in God's academy.
Yeah. He's a soldier for the Lord.
So we needed to talk about restoring. God needed to restore me because I was like, I was so lost.
Mm-hmm. But we had to sit down and we had to remind each other that God does not make mistakes. So, you know, a lot of you out there right now that are going through and went through what we're talking about, God has come tonight to let you know that he has come to restore you. And the Hebrew word for restore is T-I-K-K-U-N, tikkun. It means to repair, to make new. So in 2022, God wants to make your life new. He wants to repair your life. He wants to build you up where you didn't fall down, because we've had so many tragedies. We've heard of so many tragedies going on in different cities, different areas, about how, you know, the world is just getting so cold and hateful to a place where people just don't care no more. I mean, you know, we've heard about the way they're killing in Philly. It's like every night, every 4 or 5 hours, somebody is getting killed, and we talking about they don't have no picks anymore.
They really don't.
Amen.
Children, women.
I remember when I was growing up in my era, they had a respect for mothers, you know, because I would see guys get in trouble, and if the guys that really want them or whoever wanted them would run up on their mom, they would give them a pass. They would give them a pass and say, you know, okay, you with your mom, but now they're killing the moms. They're killing the moms. They're killing the fathers. But the thing is we have to look past this because we are protected by our father.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So when we come from beyond that covering, because like I told y'all when Turning Point was on before, I went beyond a hedge of protection. I believe in a wall of protection. Because I've noticed wherever you at, I can stick my hand through a hedge. Amen.
Amen.
And the thing is it's not to where we didn't believe, because none of God's word is going to come back void. Amen.
Amen.
So we just have to sit on, like my wife always says, she loves to say, we had to sit on that seat of expectation of that we know that he's going to take care of whatever comes our way.
Yes.
Amen.
Because when he repairs you, he fixes or mends you with damage or flaws,
mm-hmm.
emotion, anything that can be repaired, he will fix.
And I just, you know, I don't want to cut my wife out, honey. I just want to remind y'all that this is the 1,560th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. And I, you know, we talk with Pastor Toy, and we can remember when it was 1 and 10 and
mm-hmm.
11 and 12. That was a long time ago. God is worth, the same God that we had back then is the same God that we have right now. Amen. So let's don't sell him short saying what he can't do, because this is a new day. And I mean, tragedies and stuff is coming. All you got to do is we have to get back to prayer again. We speak of that so much. We have gotten now, and I mean, if we're talking to you today and it's making you feel uncomfortable, it's for a reason. Amen? Because we have to get back to prayer. And I'm talking no company excluded. We're even talking to ourselves. We have to start praying more. Amen. We got to get to a point to where God is on our mind day and night. He say pray without ceasing. You know, we got to start praying for our kids again. And those of you out there right now that are listening to me and you're having trouble with your kids, it's a reason. We've fallen off somewhere. We talked about this a long time ago. We're losing focus. Once you lose focus and you start backing off God, God is not a God that will force you to do anything. So if we get to a point to where we start slacking off with our praying, if we get to a point to where we're not, you know, going before God like we used to, things are not going to be like they used to. Amen? So you know, and then like I said, that Hebrew word, it means to repair. And if anybody knows about having something going wrong in your life and you had a repairman come over, God is your repairman for your life. So we need to have him come. We need to have him come back in our lives and repair. Amen?
Go back in the room with them while we're on the phone. Go. Thank you.
Restore is to make new. Amen? So we are to a point to where, you know, God talks to you and he lets you know exactly what he needs you to do. And we had nothing to do with this point in time that we came back on the air. God did, because God said it's time to bring up the turning point again.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a lot of relationships out there that are on the brink. And you know, and sometimes when you have no help, or you don't hear a word coming from God, sometimes we get complacent. And see, that's what a lot of your kids are going through right now, your teenagers, even your kids that are coming up in their 20s, they're getting into this depression thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting depressed because, I mean, if you look what's going on around us right now, amen, it's so much stuff that's going on that we have no control over. And I know the majority of you that's in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s that have been out there for a while, you've always been told, don't get upset or stressed over something that you have no control over. God has control over our life. So when something's going wrong in our life, if we sit back and do what we need to do and pray to him and say, God, you know this better than I do.
Amen.
Amen. So we need you right now in 2022 to step in and give us a word.
Yes, we need that word.
And I'm not talking about the words that we bring in right now. Some of us need individual words.
Amen.
And here we see in Ephesians 4:1-32, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to sum that up, it's saying that God, right now, in this time of turmoil that we're going to, should be our all in all.
Should be.
We can't get on the phone and call your girlfriend that you went to high school with, the one you went to college with, because they're going through the same thing.
Amen.
So somebody has to go to the source. We can't sit back and rely on each other because we're going to keep on getting the same answers from person to person. I don't know, but, you know, God is with us. Okay, well, like we learned when we were younger ministers, we would always figure that we could go talk to the pastor, we could talk to the older ministers, the elders.
Yeah.
But in this time right now that I'm seeing, everybody's going through. So we all need to get back to the good old fashion of bending our knees and bowing our heads and praying, even for our kids, because we keep talking about they're the future, but we got to equip them too. They got families they're going through.
Amen. Everybody have a situation in their life that they're going through. Husband and wife, sisters and brothers, mothers and daughters, children, with parents. Everyone have a situation, but we can't repair every situation. But I know Christ can. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. He can restore, repair, and mend any situation that you think that can't be handled.
And he can be everywhere at one time. We can't do that. We could call a couple friends, or you could call our house, and we could sit down and have a good conversation. But that's one person. That's one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
God sees and knows all. He's omnipresent. So let's get back in 2022 to the person that took care of us in 2019, 2018,
you might 17. Not think he was there, but trust and believe he was.
Yeah, because you definitely made it out much better than you should have.
Because I'm not going to hold you. When I didn't think I was going to even make it through, but God gave me strength to help my girls and his mother, Janine. And every day me and her talk, and all we want, I forgive the murderers that killed my grandson.
Because we have to.
And I don't want that cancer to eat up at me until it turns me dark and put me in a black place. You understand me? So forgiveness is not for that person, but it's to restore me. And that's what, when my husband said the topic, I knew it was right because I needed God to restore me. I needed his help because I can't take on this burden by myself.
Amen.
It was nothing I could do to change my grandson's mind, to come down here sooner, but I did dream it. But you know, when you tell your kids dreams, they think, oh, Grandma is crazy. No, Grandma, I'm not crazy. It was something I couldn't control.
Amen.
So I had to let go and let God fix me, heal me, mend me, restore me because I was broken.
Amen, amen. And we're losing these kids. How many of you have, you know, because everybody is so overwhelmed by these iPhones, these Apples. You got Apple or you got an LG, whatever it is. How many times do you look up and you get that Amber Alert on your phone? Now, I want you to turn that around just a little bit because when that Amber Alert comes on your phone, because, you know, the devil, he desires to have our kids. So when you look and see that Amber Alert come up and say a child is missing, that's the same way he's coming at these children now spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Every time an Amber Alert come on your phone, that's one of God's children lost that he didn't call himself snatching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we got to stop this. So whenever that phone go, Amber Alert, child's taking such and such.
Just start praying.
Yeah, you got to start praying because that's the same way he's taking our children from us.
Quickly.
And he has no desire to stop this thing because, see, he stays on his job 24/7, but we slack back, and all of a sudden things start going wrong, and even adults, because present company included, me and my wife sometimes had to sit back because we don't want to get in that depression to where things are going so bad, and, you know, you have financial problems, your bills are coming up, but God say, I will be your all in all.
But, you know, the key is for him to be your all in all. You have to express to him you're hurting. You have to acknowledge where you're hurting and where it's impacting your life. You have to ask him to grant you the power of forgiveness. You have to talk to him about your walk in repentance.
Amen.
Because when you go through hurt people. Hurt people, hurt people. But if you have that forgiveness in your heart, and I just told this to my girl, if we don't forgive the murderers and the killers that's killing our children, guess what? God won't forgive you.
And he won't reveal.
And he won't reveal who it is. Because he has a way of letting people know when they do wrong, they can't eat, they can't sleep. That he's going to eat at them until they turn themselves in. And that's my prayer.
And that's what it's all about with the forgiveness. Because, see, when you forgive somebody, you know, like me and my wife say, we have to because that's us as Christians. We have to forgive you. We don't have to forget what you did, but we do have to forgive you. And see, God will come in and he'll make that person say, you know what, I know that was wrong. You know, and then God would have them repent to where they'd be ready to turn themselves in. And I don't know who this is for tonight, but somebody needs to know that if you have to forgive the person that did you wrong so God can make it right.
You have to.
And
even if it's your husband,
yeah,
your wife, your children, a family member, it doesn't matter.
Somebody you really respect.
This is one body, one Christ, has many parts. And we have to put that forgiveness in there for healing to come. Because forgiveness is an action word.
That's it.
It moves. When you have that word forgiveness, it moves something.
Mm-hmm.
That sickness in your body. Because forgiveness and hurt, and it's like a cancer. It eats at
away.
You.
It eats away.
It's eating at you.
Until it kills that part to where that part don't move no more. That's why we say, me and my wife have always told you guys, we are all different parts of Christ's body. And if we don't move at once, you ever notice if somebody sits down there and you never really knew how to walk, if you don't learn how to walk and bend your legs and move your feet, you're not going anywhere. And we have to have the parts of that body working in sync. Amen? We got to work in sync. We got to work together to make that body move. So that's why a lot of things in your life is going on to where, you know, you're not talking to the same people you used to talk to. Because I've always been a true believer of, we won't slip and fall as much as we do if we keep Christian people around us, prayed up people, prayer warriors.
Because it's funny how God do move people, places, and things out your life, and for some reason, you bring them right back in.
Because we didn't, and I heard this on TV, honey, we did not know, how did they say it? We did not know the plan. If you didn't understand the plan, you don't know how it's supposed to go and how you know your next move. And if you don't, you need to get on your knees and ask God, what would you have me do today?
I always tell y'all that before your feet hit the floor, you ask God, order your steps. Let me go. Say, do what you have me do. Because in all, you belong to Him.
Amen.
You're just a vessel. Your job as a Christian is to go out and collect souls for the kingdom. All you do is water, and God do the rest. All you do is tell that boy on the corner, that sister on the corner, the person in the hospital, in the jail, I love you, and God do too.
God loves you too. And see, a lot of people don't even hear that. They don't even know that. That's why so many people out here now are saying, you know, well, I don't even believe there's a God, because see, they, first off, all their life they was never taught love.
And
to be teach love, you have to be loved in your life, period. A lot of people don't understand why you have so much trouble with these spouses. See, you got to look at the background that they came from.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And see, maybe that's the reason why you're in their life, because you're there to show them love, show them how to love. And that's a big
job
thing to take on. Yeah.
But you know what the blessing is? I said this on Facebook a couple weeks, I get my days confused. I told the murder, I sent a letter to the murderers and killers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry you were not shown how to love. I'm so sorry you were not shown how to trust someone.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm so sorry no one cared for you. But I'm here to tell you I love you. I care for you. All I need you to do is confess, because God will hear and forgive you. No matter what the crime is, he's just to forgive you, long as you confess it.
And y'all don't realize how long and how hard it took her to get to that point.
Because I tell you, man, the old me will go to his friend's house and make a confession happen, okay?
Yeah,
but that ain't who God called me to be. He said, I need you to fight on your knees. I need you to fight through prayer. I need you to fight for forgiveness. I said, I'm not ready to forgive yet. I'm not ready to let go. The police are moving too slow.
And that's when he told her, the battle's not yours.
It's not mine.
It's not yours.
He said, baby, I need to restore you again. I need to motivate you again. I need you to be who you were called to be. I can't let you sit in this. I'm not going to let you sit in this. So I picked myself up through Christ and said, you know what? God, you're right. Forgive me.
And that's when, That's when 1 Peter 5 and 10, it kicked in. And for those of you out there that are really suffering, and if you can feel this thing that we're talking, this verse is for a lot of people that are lost. And God had to remind you, 1 Peter 5 and 10, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So see, God is letting you know, I'm sitting back here because I'm waiting on you to tell me this is what you need. People always say, well, God knows my heart. No, God likes to hear what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking, but he wants it to come out your mouth.
Amen.
Amen.
And you have to confess that thing. Yeah, Maureen, I'm a minister, yeah, but I go through hurt.
Yeah.
I go through pain.
You're human. That's a human
and
body.
And those who know me, my grandkids be in church.
Amen.
Because the words say, if you, I can't get it right now, but you got to bring them up in the church. And when they get older, they won't
fear.
Depart.
And the fear.
They know, they fear God. They know who he is. Because anybody know that know Khalil? He was put here to make you laugh. He will be in the back of the church enjoying the word. And when we come home, he will put my church clothes on. Grandma, mom, you. He got my Bible, my wig, my hat, everything. He knew how to make you laugh.
And sometimes we would tell people the reason we knew our grandson loved God because sometimes he would get there to the church
before we did.
Before we did. We get there and he's sitting in the back of church waving, hey, grandma, hey, grandpa. Because you know what? We knew how we raised him. But to see the things that he did for people around and about him showed the love that we put in him, the God that put in us. So it's a continuing love. And we still tell our daughters that today. You know what? Certain things in your life you may do, you may not understand, but God wants it that way.
Mm-hmm.
When the last time you had a friend that you went to high school with or college, that you hugged them and said, you know what, I love you. I don't understand what you're going through, but I'm here. People don't realize, like, we had so many people tell us, well, when we heard your grandson was murdered, we couldn't call you. We didn't know what to say. You don't have to say nothing to that person. Just call them so they can hear your voice. If they hear your voice, that may make 75% of their stress go away.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, my college buddy just called me, you know, and nobody said you had to run over and drop all kind of money off and food. Just be there for me because sometimes I might need a shoulder to lean on.
Because
through the years, as us being ministers, we had a lot of shoulders lean on us. But you know what? Sometimes people always think that men and women of God don't go through nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, we go through, but we can have the same problem. But it all depends on how we attack that problem,
mm-hmm.
on how we going to come out better on the other side.
I found it. Thanks, Pastor Toy. Proverbs 22:6. Train up your child in the way that he should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. So you have to instill that God loves them. You have to instill that whatever reaction is a consequence.
Yeah, and you got to see, once you put that foundation down, because we learned as young kids, I know when my grandmother used to drag me to church all the time. When we was in Philadelphia, in West Philadelphia, Metropolitan, Baptist Church, Hughes Church, she used to drag, I thought back then she was dragging me, but she was building me.
Yeah.
She was building me for the man that I am today. Amen? And I thank God for Laura Bradley. Laura Bradley would sit there and see for y'all, those of y'all that didn't have to stay 2-3 service in church because they knew that we may didn't like it, but it was still going in. You ever had somebody telling you something and then you think that they're ignoring you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you ever go through that with your child where you tell them, you say, and you're not listening to me. They're listening.
Mm-hmm. Sharks are good for that.
They're listening.
And so my big, she get on my nerve like nobody's business. Christina, she know right from wrong, but she got a mean streak that she hear me. Shar will hear me, but she'll come back later on and say, you know what, Mom, you were right. Me and her, she just moved down here. She's looking for a house. So far, a lot of doors shut in her face, but I'm telling her to hold on. God got what you're supposed to have when you're supposed to have it.
But he's not going to give it to you no time sooner.
And
he's supposed to.
And that forgiveness got to go for her too, you guys, because she don't know how to let go of the people that murdered her, her nephew. But we are work in progress.
Amen. And if you're listening tonight and you want to, you know, you may have just got on by the radio and you don't have the number. The number here is 319-527-6091. Tell somebody that the Turning Point is back on Purpose Kingdom Network. Amen. And we are out for souls. That's our main purpose. You know, anything we do is not to glorify, you know, Minister Lee and Minister Lee. The thing is we're out for souls because right now, like I said, on that Amber Alert, and I want you guys to remember that, when your phone go off again, you know, because sometimes it go off 2, 3, 4 times a night, think about the souls that the devil is bringing in. That's another one that we should have had sitting down talk to, you know, to let them know whenever the weight gets heavy, you need to get on your knees because, see, you can't stand up with all that weight on you.
Mm-hmm.
So you lay down prostrate sitting there saying, God, this is yours. You know, for you I live and for you I die. And, God, I need you right now. God loves to hear that. We have to surrender. You got to throw your hands up and say, God, I'm tired of fighting this battle.
The white flag. And that's where even with your marriage, with your spouse, you can't ask God to fix him. God got to fix you.
Yeah.
He has to restore you because a sanctified wife will sanctify that husband.
Amen.
And vice versa. A sanctified husband will sanctify that wife.
And see, this is that thing, honey, that Job had for restoration. Restoration, the definition, is to receive back more. And they say the same, to receive back more than has been lost to the point where the final state is greater than the original.
And that's how I feel right now. I'm not the same Maureen that was crying, why God? Now I say, God, I thank you. Because he's in heaven making God laugh. He's in heaven talking, oh, Philly not going to be bad this year, God. I got you. I'm going to make you laugh. So every so often I hear his laughter, and I look at his picture. Sometimes I cry, and sometimes I could just bust out laughing.
Amen.
But I know it's healing through laughter. You understand what I just said? Healing is through laughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I could look at his picture, and I could laugh.
And even when you get angry in certain situations, Saint, like my wife said, if you start laughing, you can't be mad and happy at the same time.
You sure can't.
It don't work like that. I mean, if you think you can do it, try it one time and give us a call on Purpose Kingdom and let us know. I did both of them. Because, see, that's when you come to the point to where now you starting to fall off the cliff. Because you're laughing and crying. To be happy, you have to look at a situation and say, you know what? God did this for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And see, sometimes it's so hard because we try to figure out that reason. And see, that's the part that we ain't there yet. God does it, and he will let us know, this is for everything I do is for your good.
Mm-hmm.
But everything I do that's for your good is to glorify me in the end.
Amen.
Amen. We sit up and think that, oh, well, you know, we stick our chest out because we're bishop so-and-so, we're elder this way. No, the highest title you can hold is a child of God. And I don't understand how so many people, and even today, like I said, when you hear us talking, present company is not excluded. We're getting back on the trail. I told my wife the trail that we run. We had slowed down a little bit, and we had put on a little bit of non-spiritual weight. Amen?
Yes.
So we got to get back out there and start working out again. Start doing our spiritual sit-ups and our spiritual push-ups to where our body can get strong so whenever the devil come at us,
we ready.
You do that hit and we'll look at him. You ever see a boxer? And see, you got to go into this fight with your guy's eyes open.
Amen.
How many boxers you know seen him go in the ring and close his eyes and beat somebody? Not too many I know.
Right.
You have to have your eyes open. And when you go in there, plus you have to study to show yourself approved. Because you have to know your enemy.
Amen.
Because if you don't have your enemy or know your enemy, you might be fighting your daughter, your husband, your child, whatever, because we learned a long time ago, a lot of ways the devil come through them, he always uses the person that's closest to you. And whatever they're doing, it's not them. That's the devil in them. So you have to get up on your prey game to where when they sleep at night, me and my wife used to go around the house. Remember we used to go around the house with the oil when the daughters were asleep, and we would pray and anoint them. And then they would sit up the next morning one time, oh, I slept so good, and, you know, my back ain't hurting no more. But they don't know. God never sleeps nor slumber. So we figured if he can do that, we can try it.
Amen.
So let's anoint them while they sleep.
Amen.
And set the atmosphere so the next day when they get up, they wonder why they're so happy and ready to go.
Amen.
You were prepped at night. It's almost like you women, you know how you do it, because my wife always do it, and I don't understand how you women do it. She'll get a turkey and put it in the oven, and it cook all night. Now, the next morning when you get up, that turkey ready. Turkey don't burn. Turkey don't do that. That turkey.
I ain't make any baby food, granddaughter.
And it's just, it's crazy how y'all can do that. And that's the same. That's the same way.
Well,
you go to all night prayer service. And see, that's the same way how we can cook the devil that night. Cause we cook him all night long.
Uh-huh.
And then the next morning he be ready to flee.
He has.
Amen.
To. But you know, as long as he messing with us, we in the right place.
Yeah.
It's when the enemy stops tormenting and messing with you, something
you
wrong.
You got a problem.
You got a problem.
And you know, I listen to people say that years and years of my life, you know, everything is going fine. And God, I'd like for you to be honest. He ain't saying when you come and you're talking to your Christian brothers and sisters that you just lay everything out on the line and boo-hoo. But it's strength in numbers. So, see, sometimes when we're going through, we still need to say, you know, God, I need you because I hit a wall.
I hit a roadblock.
I hit a wall, and that wall is stopping me from being, you know, it's trying to steal my joy.
You know what I tell? It's like that, what's the army say? God is searching for a few good men or women. If you hit a wall, it's because you're not at the place that God needs you to be at right now.
And he's still searching for a few good men.
And he's still searching for a few good men or women.
Yeah, because the army
on that battlefield.
The army is getting kind of shaky right now. And like I said, you know, we say that because we've watched this thing and the devil threw so much stuff at us, you know, with the death of Khalil and Laura's friends, her closest friends in college, to where he tried to throw a smoke screen up there so you can get depressed and sit down.
And that's what, like, through Laura, I love her so much. Y'all don't understand. I'm going to just give you a little bit of her life last year. Last year, you know, the COVID started the year before last, and people from colleges was being sent home. Her two friends was being sent home from school because of the COVID, and they shut down the campus. Both of them died in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And then her other girlfriend came home, was trying to stop a fight, and they stabbed her 7 times. So that's 3 people she lost. And then a couple months later, she lost her nephew. A couple weeks from there, her boyfriend got shot by accident, somebody cleaning a gun, and he just died. My baby did 5 deaths.
So tell me, won't God do it?
Won't he do it?
He made her stand up through this thing straight
and
up strong.
And sing.
She sung at each funeral.
And then her girlfriend lost her grandmother and her grandfather, and then her little cousin.
But what did the grandmom tell her?
Sing.
Prior to that, she said, if anything happened to me,
I want
Laura to sing.
Mm-hmm. And she did it.
Yes, she did.
But on top of that, when she going through all that, with us going through, our oldest daughter was in the hospital still in a coma for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we still holding on because God said, you're going to go through some things in this world. But if you trust and believe me, I'm going to bring you out.
He said, I didn't bring you this far to leave you.
And he's going to bring you out. For those broken relationships, he's going
mm-hmm.
to fix it. He's going to restore because that's who he is. You just got to hold on to his hand. But the sickness in your body, you got to walk by faith and not by
sight.
You're healed already.
Amen.
You take the medication till the manifestation
where we start with prayer. We figure we done prayed enough, things will start going a little better than they used to be, so we don't need to pray no more. Wrong answer. Right now, saints, we are in a spiritual warfare. I know you've heard this a lot, but you know what? Right now, we are in a spiritual warfare, and we need to put our full armor on.
Amen.
Amen. And I just want to remind you again, this is Purpose Clean Network. This is the Turning Point. This is our 1,560th episode.
Won't he do it?
Like I said, I remember back in 1, 2, and 3, and 4. That seemed like it was only last week, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And God was moving back then in our lives. But right now, God is about ready to elevate a lot of you men and women of God to a new level. Because we got to really get down in the dirt and get dirty. I know a lot of you preppy Christians don't want to get your hands dirty.
Well, guess what? If you don't want to get dirty, God will move you out and call up a new soldier.
Look,
yes, he will.
You can sit up there if you want to and think that this is not a dirty job. This job, you get down and dirty in it.
Because you fight with Satan.
Look.
You got to fight him with word scripture. Iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm.
Put your full armor of God on. You can't put half of armor on and think you're going to make it. Because he got fiery darts.
And God reminds you all the time, like it said in Isaiah 54, no weapons formed against me shall prosper. See, I take that thing personal. You don't say no weapons against you formed against you, no weapons against me, because I'm the one standing up doing this fight. Okay, and I need to know that God got my back, and he's telling you right here in Isaiah 54, no weapons formed against you. I don't care what they bring. You could have just got fired on your job, but I got another job for you.
Mm-hmm.
You could have just crashed your car. I got another car for you. Amen? Your house could have just burned down. You know why? Because I got another house for you. See, you got to look at this thing and turn it around, turn it from the negative to the positive. Amen? To know that God is who he say he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to divert from anything he tells you. Everything he says is going to come true. But you know what? It's not in our time. It's in his time.
In his time.
We gotten so, and we used to call it microwavable prayers, you know, and microwavable lives. We want things to happen instantly.
God don't move instantly unless, I'm going to be honest, I noticed when I really went to God, he moved fast because he knew I was like, I was tired. I was tired of being in my room, not wanting to get me, what my daughter called me. She said, Mom, you got to get your woman together. You got to get your womanhood together. And I'd be like, Lord, I just don't feel like moving out of the bed. And then when Sha got here, me and her had our crying days.
Mm-hmm.
We would look at Khalil's picture and we'd just bust out crying for Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Amen, amen.
We just used to him helping me cook. Him and Michael and Tony will cut up all the cheeses. He would shred it. Michael will stir it.
He's a taste tester. He would taste everything.
Everything. And it's like when he wasn't here, it took something from me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for all my grandkids. But you had that one child that make a room light up.
And you don't even have to say nothing because he knows. That's just like everybody talking about me and my wife, how we finish each other's sentences. He was the third person to finish the sentence and know what we were thinking.
Yeah. Or if I'm going through...
He will call
He'll call me before I call him. He said, what's up, Grandma? I said, how you know to call me? 7 o'clock every morning we call each other because I know he's getting ready for work. Let's do a prayer, grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get this done. He said, all right, Grandma, I'm ready.
Romans 8 and 37 say we are more than conquerors through him that love us. He loves you. So, see, he's telling you that you're going to always succeed if you follow my plan.
Get that relationship with him.
You got to get that plan. And see, God loves a person. Even you know, as growing up, they would tell you in church, he loves a cheerful giver, and he loves a person that knows how to pray. And it's not always, you know, you people don't have to get it real
theological
and theological on me and use these big words. God wants to hear what's in your heart. He knows what's in your heart, but he wants to hear it come out your mouth. Amen? We have to sit up a lot of times and let God know, God, this is how we feel.
And this is, I tell people, people laugh at me, and I don't care. I say, you know what, Dad, I'm mad at you. Like, I don't understand why you take Khalil. I know some people that deserve the death my grandson got, but not to be robbed and killed.
Like a dog in the street.
His ID, so they didn't know who my grandson was when he got to the hospital. He was a John Doe.
Amen.
And those who know how hospitals treat a John Doe, oh, he's just another black man that got gunned down. No, my grandson was not just another young man that got gunned down. No, he wasn't.
That was a situation, and I still feel, I tell my wife, I think he's in the wrong place, wrong time.
He's the wrong time.
Wrong place, wrong time, because, you know, God say obedience is better than
sacrifice
because tell them when your grandson's supposed to come down here and when he got killed.
He was supposed to come down on Friday.
He had a ticket.
He changed his ticket till Sunday.
And when did he get killed?
Saturday.
See, God had a plan. We had a plan, and God had a different plan. If my grandson had came down here Friday, I'm not saying when anything would happen to him later on, but that wouldn't happen to him because he'd have been down here in Georgia.
Yeah, but we wanted you to hear if God can restore us, if God can repair us better than we was when we started, he could do the same thing for you. Broken marriages, he can restore.
Yes.
Forgiveness, he will put there. He will, if you trust and believe in him.
And he said, bring it to the altar and
leave it there.
Stop harping and stop talking about how sad you are. And God knows everything about you. And after you go through all this, Psalms 51 and 10, it tells you, God, this is what I'm asking, God. God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. God, once you clean me up and once you do me what I need to do, God, don't push me to the side because now I'm a clean soldier.
And that's how I felt. I wanted him to restore me again. I wanted to get to the place where he knew my name again.
Yes.
Because I was getting cold.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care. I didn't want to hear. I didn't want to do nothing. God, you took my grandson and didn't give me a reason. He said, who are you? I don't have to ask you for permission to do what I need to do.
And I don't have to answer to you.
And I don't have to answer to you. And I was hurt. I was like, no, you didn't say that to me. Dad. You made me a promise.
And my wife
would tell you. He said, I did make you a promise.
We fought with this thing every day because she was starting to get so depressed, and everybody was like, you know, because she tell people, and the example is the house that we purchased down here. We went so long trying to find a house. God woke me up the day we were ready to leave Georgia and say, go get your house. And I told my wife, I said, we're going to get a house today. She said, okay. 20 minutes after that, I really had to call us and say, I got a house for y'all. Okay, Khalil.
Okay, Lil.
20 minutes after that. She said, where are you guys at? We was in Walmart. We was buying something in Walmart. She said, well, rush over here right now because every house we put in for had so many bids on it.
It wasn't meant for us.
And then when we got this house, because my dad passed 2018, December the 9th, this house number is 129. 12,
and those who know people in the street, that was my dad's favorite number, 129. So, whatever God has for you
is for you.
It's for you. Whatever situation that you think you can handle on your own, you can't. You need the Holy Father's presence. If you don't have forgiveness in your heart, now is the time. If you want restoration to be restored, you just ask God for it. We're going to do the call of salvation. We're going to make this pure but sweet. Go ahead, honey.
God is calling on people now that are ready for this battle that's coming forward. And if you heard anything tonight that made you feel uncomfortable, God is getting you ready. Because restore, like I told you earlier, means to repair. And we in our lives have a lot of repairing. But see, first off, we want to know, you have to go on and accept Christ as your personal savior. And once you accept Christ as your personal savior, then we want you to go out and tell anybody you know. I don't care if you get on the phone and call a friend you haven't talked to in years. I just sat there and I found out that he is real.
Mm-hmm.
And he's real to me.
Amen.
Not to my neighbor. He's real to me. And then after you do that, we want you to seek out a Bible preaching, teaching church where you can continue learning more about him. Because you can never know enough about God.
You can't.
Amen. You know, and you need to let the people know that are wearing you down and being hatred to you, your arm's too short to box with God. I'm going to throw my hands up and let you have it. Amen.
And after you said it, it's not going to get easy.
No.
You're going to have people come your way.
You're a target.
You're never alone.
You're a target.
You got God on your side, and you call on him. God, I need you now.
And a lot of people, even when we was back, we noticed people was doing baptisms, and they was taking the right hand of fellowship. They didn't realize, and that's what we used to always do, and people used to look at me and my wife, like, what are y'all doing? We would tell people, why are you telling them that? Because it's true. Don't think this thing gets easier as you go along. It gets more complicated. Amen? It gets more complicated to where you have to get in the Word more to break this thing down to yourself so you can break it down to somebody else. Because the fight is not yours. They always tell you, you know, you can't pick your fights, but you can pick your battles. And the battle that we have where God is going out letting us know, people, get yourself and get your house in order. Let's get all these spirits out of the house. Stop letting these people come in your house and disperse spirits just because they're friends. Because, see, a friend ain't going to come in my house and disrupt it. You call yourself a friend and you're a woman, a man of God, sometimes you have to watch what comes out your mouth. Amen? Because sometimes stuff come out your mouth, you can hurt people you can't take back.
And also, whatever you take to God at the altar, leave it there. Pray about all things and worry about nothing. I'm going to say that again. Prayer about all things, but worry about nothing. God's going to bless every aspect of your life.
Amen.
Long as you keep communication with him open, long as you pray and study your word diligently. Don't be a once-in-a-week Christian, only on Sundays, only on Bible study you open your Bible. Put that Bible inside your heart and bring scriptures to your remembrance. Just study a scripture a day.
Did you tell them about being a fair-weather Christian?
Oh, yeah, you
just,
can't
just
be.
Just because the rain and the storm and the snow come out, don't go inside and hide.
No.
Get out there in the elements. Get in the elements and show them that, you know what, I'm in this to win this.
Yes, because our God is real.
And saints, again, I'm telling you, we are in a fight.
Amen.
Get your hands up, because this thing is not going to get easier. It may get to be a little more comfortable to you because you start knowing your tools to fight with.
Amen. That word is a two-edged sword. It will shake up some things and change people's minds. Trust and believe what God has to for you through his scripture, his word.
Amen.
Is for you. The only thing can slow it up is you.
Mm-hmm.
But Pastor Toy, do you have any comments?
Or any announcements?
Or any announcements? Tell them they can eat.
Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. We just thank and bless God for that word that has come forth this evening as they spoke about restoration. And can I tell y'all, as y'all were bringing forth the word this evening, God led my spirit to Joel, to the book of Joel, chapter 2, and he made me go down to the 25th verse. And I'm just going to read these two verses real quick. And it reads, it says, now understand, this is God talking. This is Joel prophesizing to the children of Israel that which God said to him. And for us who are believers in Christ, this promise, this word, extends to us also. It says, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pommelworm, that my great army which I sent among you. and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, or for us today, I am in the midst of my children, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Hallelujah, God. And that was Joel chapter 2, verses 25 through 27. And as they said, God is in a state of praise, a spirit of restoration this evening. Hallelujah, God. We thank and praise God for that which he is doing, as he is continuing to comfort and heal the Lee family with all of the loss that has surrounded them. We thank and bless God as he is comforting all those out there who are dealing with loss. We're thanking and blessing him for healing, for restoration, hallelujah, for rejuvenation, hallelujah, God. And we are thanking and blessing God by faith for those souls out there this evening listening to God's word who we believe gave their life to Christ this evening. We encourage you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until then, bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. We invite you to join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. for another broadcast of Purpose Kingdom Network. I will be bringing forth a word from the Lord at 9 p.m. with Bible Study for Life. Amen. At 9 p.m., myself, Pastor Troy Daly, with Bible Study for Life right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us via any of our social media pages. We are on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to follow us via our webpage, which is www.pknradio. Again, www.p as in purpose, K as in kingdom, N as in network, pknradio, where we are blessed that we are able to broadcast gospel music 24 hours a day, as well as you are able to get in touch with any of the hosts of the different ministries here at PKN. Again, please know that we love you all with the love of Christ. We thank you for joining in with us this evening. Elder and Reverend Lee, wonderful, wonderful word this evening. The Spirit of God truly moved, and the ministry is back in your hands.
Pastor Toy, I thank you, and I pray your strength also, because you know me. You know your boy, Smiley.
Yes.
And just to sit back and hear people talk about my grandson that knew him, not people that called me on Instagram and Facebook and, oh, I didn't know your grandson was in the word in the street. I'm like, you know what? You didn't know me nor my grandson, and click.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So they, and, you know, real quick, I just want to say about Khalil, if, like I said and like she just said, Khalil was in the streets in the manner of helping other people. So no one would say, oh, he was in the streets. He was in the streets. He was where every saint of God needs to be. We should be in the streets stopping those spiritual amber alerts, like Elder Charles said, like Khalil lived his short life doing, making a difference in the lives of others. There's a book when I was in school for ministry that they gave us to read called Pastoring as Jesus Did. And what I loved about that book, y'all have heard me make this statement 1,000 times. It was one of my favorite statements out of all of the statements in this book. The author said, when Jesus met the woman at the well, he did not walk up to her and say, hey, ho. He took her where she was and took her to where he needed and created her to be, so that that woman that was walking in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, with her head held down low to get water by herself, because no woman of any respect would be seen around her. And although for her to have the title that she had, the men would only go around her in the dark of night. But this same woman, when she had her encounter with Jesus, was able to run back and tell everybody that didn't want to be around her to come see a man. Hallelujah, God. To come see the Messiah who had healed her, delivered her, changed her. And it was so automatic. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do what Jesus did. We're supposed to be doing what Khalil was doing for Jesus, meeting people where they were and helping to bring them up.
Yes.
He had just gotten his letter of acceptance into the police academy, which means he was just hitting 23. And 23 and younger, that young man was out in the street saying, hey, you ain't got to do this. What are you good at? Let me make some phone calls. Let me see if I can hook you up with this person. Let me see if I can hook you up with that person. But that's not what we do. We just look down our nose at folks, oh, y'all drug dealers, oh, you're a prostitute, oh, you're a thief, oh, you're an addict. No, we need to look at them like God sees them, hallelujah, God, and offer them the love of God through Christ Jesus. So I bless God that I was able to get to know Khalil, and that he had been a blessing, and not just to my heart, but also in my life. So that's all I wanted to say. I'm going to pass it back over to y'all so we can close out. God bless you, and thank you so much.
And thank you, Pastor Toy.
Yes, we want to thank you for
God.
I mean, sometimes when we think about him, Pastor Toy, you just get so filled up that you can't feel sad, because you know he was on a mission for God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And I just want to leave y'all tonight with Jeremiah 32:27. He says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And what's the last one, honey? What did he say?
Is anything too hard for me?
So he's trying to let you know, I don't care what you're going through, it's not too hard for me. Because when he came down here and sent his only begotten son down here, it was no cars and, you know, cell phones and stuff like that, but he went through hard times. He couldn't call somebody, go to a phone booth, call somebody when trouble came. He called his father.
Yep.
He couldn't call for a cab. He got on a donkey.
And what'd he do? 40 days and 40 nights. He fast.
We can't even fast for 40 minutes.
And we need to put our prayer shoes on our knees, and we need to pray
and
fast.
We need to get back to fasting and praying, and watch how God moves.
What's the favorite word, my grandma? You better tarry at the altar until you receive the Holy Ghost.
Now,
tarry
you want to
at the altar.
He's saying, I'm going to turn you loose till you bless me.
Bless me. The prayer
and
of the band.
And that's the way we have to do in 2022. God, I'm not going to release you till you bless me.
And you know what, you guys? I'm telling you, that's how I felt. I said, I'm not going to let go, God. I know you got the murders of my grandson in hand. I'm not letting you go because you're not finished blessing me. So restore me. Because guess what? I'm coming out swinging worse than I did then.
And right now, we know that they're not sleeping. They're not sleeping well.
Torment.
They might be walking down the street wondering what's going on and worrying about, you know.
Somebody going to hit me? Yeah, the Holy Spirit going to hit me.
But we want to let you know again, this is the Turning Point, Purpose Kingdom Network, the 1,560th episode, and our title tonight was Restore, Restoration, Repair. Amen. And this is the Turning Point. We love you with the love of Christ. And this is me and my wife signing off for tonight.
Yes, Lord.
And we say, what we need you to do is go, and we have to get back to the old-time religion. That's the way they used to tell me all the time. When I used to go to Baptist churches, remember how they try to scare you with the brimstone and fire?
But with my pastor used to sing this. What was it? There's a leap in this old building, Lord, and my soul
has got to move.
Oh, my soul
has got to move.
Oh, my soul
has got to move.
It was a leak in this old building, and God's soul had to move.
So we need you to look around and in 2022 check your building.
Check your building.
Repair the leaks.
Repair. Amen.
Amen. And this is the turning point. Signing off from the ATL.
Yes.
God bless you. God keep you. And God love you.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.